The Gatekeepers is a new documentary by director Dror Morey, consisting of interviews with six former heads of Shin Bet, the Israeli security agency. It's a fascinating movie, especially because these men who have implemented harsh and effective security measures for the protection and survival of Israel speak candidly of their concerns about the state of Israeli politics and their diminishing hopes that peace can be effected by force. The movie opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and then at the Film Forum on February 20th, and I'm very pleased that it brings Dror Morey to our show today. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
First of all, congratulations on being nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah, that's fine. That's interesting.
Has it been nominated for an Ophir Award, the Israeli Oscar?
No, we didn't run yet to the Israeli Awards. We started with here.
Let's talk a little bit about the Shin Bet. What is it? Is it kind of like the equivalent of the CIA or the FBI?
Well, it's a combination.
MI5, MI6?
I think that it's a combination of all of them together. The Shin Bet is doing, does what the CIA does. The Secret Service is also protecting the prime ministers and the biggest figures in the Israeli politicians. It also is the main agency that fights the Palestinian terror and the Jewish terror, by the way, also. There's a lot of Jewish terror, as you can know. It also provides security to the assets of Israel all around the world. So it deals with a lot of issues.
But there's also the Mossad, isn't there?
The Mossad is the equivalent of the CIA. The Mossad is dealing only with what goes on the espionage and things which are beyond the borders of Israel. Shin Bet is dealing also within the borders of Israel and beyond the borders of Israel.
And to whom do its leaders answer?
Only to one person, the Prime Minister of Israel.
And as I understand, the only employee of the agency whose name is made public is the head of Shin Bet.
And it's only from 1995 after the assassination of Rabin. Before that, you were not allowed to know the names and the pictures of the head of the Shin Bet.
Does the Shin Bet or its leaders have any input, formal or informal, into the political process?
No, I mean, while they're in office, they are only speaking or, well, talking to the head of the state, which is the prime minister. They don't go into the political apparatus.
As a professional interviewer, I have to ask you with admiration, how did you get them to speak to you in the first place and then so candidly?
To answer the first question, how do I get them to speak in the first place? It wasn't easy, but I felt that, you know, like everything else in life, it's timing. And I felt that when I reached them, the timing for them was right to speak. Because concerning one reason, they are really, really worried for the future of the state of Israel.
Well, did you use any of the Shin Bet's acknowledged techniques, like moderate pressure?
On them? Are you joking, probably?
Applying them with alcohol?
You cannot do that with them. I mean, they are the professionals.
Well, I understand that it started with just one of them agreeing to be in the film.
Yeah, you need a gate opener, not a gatekeeper. First of all, I needed the gate opener, so it was Ami Ayalon who agreed to do that on the first time, and it was really, really a success because when he understood what I wanted to do, where I want to take this film for, he said, okay. And then I asked him, can you please give me the phone numbers of all the rest of them and call them and tell them that I'm going to come? He was gracious enough to do that, and it was a long process to speak to each one of them and go there.
Do you think it was a relief for some of them to say things that they had only been saying to close colleagues?
I don't know if I can call it a relief. I think that they wanted to speak. I think that they wanted to speak and to say what they think, and especially because they feel that Israel is going in the wrong direction for a long, long time, and they thought it's about time that it will change.
And almost all of them expressed doubt or opposition to various Israeli policies and actions, both past and present.
Yeah,
some of them actions that they were responsible for.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, the security forces has a job to do, and that to prevent terror, to maintain the security of the state of Israel. But they want to look at the more bigger picture, how strategically it will lead Israel to a better future. And when they look at that in the last 45 years since the Six-Day War, and when they see where Israel is today, they are really, really concerned, and they especially point the finger to the politicians who didn't manage to bring a better solution.
Was anything off the table?
not speakingly, but I think methods were about when I went into deeply, because I'm a big fan of espionage and this kind of secret world of, you know, those dark places, especially the methods, how you do that, which can jeopardize missions that are still on the go. They didn't want to speak.
You've also said, so there were certain things that they wouldn't talk about.
I tried. They didn't want to.
You say you were also affected by Errol Morris's famous documentary, The Fog of War. Is it true that you've seen it 150 times?
Me? Yeah. 15 at least. Uh-huh. At least. I saw it many, many times. I think that Fog of War is a landmark in the documentary arena.
Well, didn't you think that it was a somewhat different issue for Robert McNamara to rethink his involvement in Vietnam? It's been many years since the dust settled on that conflict, and there's been a historical judgment made about our participation in that war. But the things that you're talking about are very present in Israel.
But I think that the fact that you managed to bring someone who was in power, who was in those rooms where the decision makers are making those decisions, this was the main issue for me, for what I took from Fog of War. And I wanted to bring those people who were in those rooms, who spoke to the prime minister, who can testify firsthand for the first time what happened in those rooms.
Did you get the feeling that it didn't matter who the prime minister was, what party?
No, I think that it matters what the prime minister, who the prime minister was. I can say very honestly that Rabin and Sharon on the other side, they really adored them for what the courage that they have in taking forward or risking their careers in order to move forward towards whatever will be a conciliation or a solution.
Even they though they're very different kinds of politicians.
Yeah, of course. But they don't, because, yeah, as you said, left and right, they don't see that definitely in the current Israeli administration.
Did you hope that this film would have an impact on last week's election?
Not that I hoped. I know that it had an impact on the, one of the prominent person in Israel, when was asked what was the reason that Netanyahu succeeded so poorly in the elections, he said, one, the gatekeepers, the interview that you did with Yuval Diskin, the head of the Shin Bet, and then the extreme right wing. So I know that it had an impact. But by the way, the film is, my pleasure, is a huge success in Israel concerning documentaries. It's unbelievable. It's now in the 15 big cinema screens in Israel, and it's sold out already.
Despite what the New York Times just reported.
Absolutely, despite what the New York Times
now,
reported.
Now, why did they get it so wrong, do you think?
I don't know. You should ask them.
But the sense I also got from reading the New York Times before the election, or right after the election, was that domestic issues like housing and rising prices were more important to the voters than relations with Iran, Syria, or the Palestinians.
Regrettably, I agree with him, because I think in some way I feel that the Israeli public is a public that lives in denial. He doesn't want to face the really major issues that are the biggest concern. As you raised, you know, the nuclear issue was the biggest issue 2 months ago in Israel, and all of a sudden it was shut out from the campaign, unbelievably. Also, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is not in the center of the issue.
And what about the Netanyahu-Obama conflict?
Well, Obama, for me, is the best friend for Israel. I think that the task of a friend is sometimes to show when you are, as a friend, behaving irrationally, and this is what I think Netanyahu is doing. Obama is saying the right things towards what he thinks should be the future of Israel.
Now, many people in this country, especially neoconservatives, feel just the opposite. Do you think that...
Ask them to watch the gatekeepers. I think that you cannot argue with the gatekeepers, because those people are heads of the Israeli Secret Service. They know better than anybody else what's good for Israel.
Well, do you think that Americans have a much more polarized view about Israel than the people in Israel, where it just seems like every little nuance is represented by another party?
Well, I don't know. I cannot speak on behalf of the American public. What I see here, that is a lot of misguided kind of views that are not represented or should be changed. Because in Israel, as Golda Meir said, I'm a prime minister to 3 million prime minister. It's very difficult to understand what is going on there.
My guest is Dror Morey, who, am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah. Perfectly.
His film, The Gatekeepers, opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza, and then later this month, next month, February 20th, at the Film Forum. Has there been any backlash for the men in the film?
No. No, how can you argue with six head of the Israel? It comes, you know, the message comes from the center of the defense establishment in Israel. It does not come from the, let's say, the bleeding heart leftist. It's the center of the defense establishment in Israel who are saying that.
And some of the things they talk about are questionable things they have done in the service of the state.
Yeah.
Some of them are worried about whether they did the right thing, the morality of some of the things that they were involved in.
Yeah, look, the issues I think that they raise there in the movie is also something that is very relevant to the American public as well. The fact of the targeted assassination, the drone attacks, the fact of how much can you force torture upon people in order to get intelligence. These are things that Israel has dealt with for a long time, and the American are dealing now also.
Although they all say to one degree or another that there's no morality when you're dealing with terrorists.
In a way. I think that what you cite here is Avraham Shalom, who basically had to justify his decision to kill two captured terrorists, and he decided to execute them without trial. So I think that this is what he said in order to excuse himself from the responsibility.
And caused a big uproar in Israel.
Yeah, a huge uproar.
The film begins with questions about the use of power. Yuval Diskin starts talking about a theoretical super clean operation, an ideal outcome for an operation. Was he still the active director of Shin Bet at the time that you made this?
Yeah, he was still. Actually, the first interview with him was in the headquarters of Shin Bet in Tel Aviv.
So what would a sterile operation be?
Sterile operation will be that you kill only the terrorists and you don't kill any bystanders behind them. Remember that those
Nobody people, seems to have figured that one out.
Well, they did it sometimes. There is also in the movie, there's the targeted assassination of Yichi Ayash, who was one of the most notorious terrorists in the Palestine, and they managed to do that alone. But the fact is that the war in the 21st century is a war to get a needle in a haystack, to get the terrorist who lives in his family or lives inside civilian population. How do you do that? How do you get them without risking the civilian population there?
Mr. Diskin describes how even a sterile operation would still haunt him in his downtime.
Yeah, this was something that was very important for me also to look at the human dilemma there. You know, how do you go home after your day job is to kill terrorists, and how do you shave yourself, and what do you think when you shave yourself, when you face yourself in the mirror doing that, when you know that you killed, let's say, innocent bystander in that operation?
He also talked about a book that influenced him as a child, a book about the 7-day war titled the 6-day war, I'm sorry. It's like God.
Yeah.
Like God. It was called If Israel Lost
the War.
Were children indoctrinated at that time to fear that possibility?
I was a child then. I was a child during the Six-Day War. I don't remember indoctrinated, but I think, the situation...
Well, there's a certain kind of propaganda value.
Absolutely. You all the time, as a Jew, you are raised to be in that everybody wants to kill us, and you have the Holocaust as a reminder, a constant reminder to that, and everybody who lives in Israel is constantly being reminded that all the Gentiles want to kill the Jews, whether in what form or another.
Because of history.
Yeah, history plays
even
a big part.
Even though in this country, evangelicals are strong supporters of the current Israeli government.
Well, I have to tell you honestly, I don't think that this is a support. I think that this is backlash on Israel. I think that a true supporter should really think what is good for the best and best for the state of Israel, and supporting the continuing the occupation and continuing the maintaining the military force is not really for the state of Israel.
There are some really fascinating stories in here. There's a funny story about Israeli soldiers going door to door trying to do a head count when their Arabic wasn't perfect. What were they? What did they wind up asking?
They came to count you, but if you do not understand the Arabic, basically you can, if you make it, you mispronounce it, it means we came to castrate you. So the Arabic, whoever didn't pronounce it well, the Arabic thought after 6-day war that the Israelis have come to castrate them. So it's really funny, but it also shows when you are occupying a hostile environment, you have to understand the language very, very well.
And some people do. They also have gotten some Palestinians and to work for them.
A lot.
But then if the local community discovers that you have done that, your life is in danger.
You are dead. Basically, if nobody rescues you, you are dead there. And they didn't do a few. There's a lot of collaborators. I assume this is the main job of the Shin Bet.
An interesting difference between this film, The Fog of War, is that these men don't seem to be saying mea culpa.
Mea culpa.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
They, to a man, they seem to feel that what they did in some cases, even though they question it on some level, that what they did was justified.
Yeah, I think, look, and this is the main issue in The Gatekeepers, is that the film shows the main public figure of the Israeli defense establishment. Did you feel that Robert McNamara, by the way, was sorry for what he did? I think that what
I think he kind of apologized, but he also said that he was good at his job, and I get a feeling these men feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. They have their professional pride. By the way, that you know, this is the most important thing for them. Their military career is the most important thing. Politicians, they don't really feel that politicians have something of a value.
Well, they do have strong opinions, and you get a feeling that if they were in politics, that the whole situation of the occupied territories would have been handled differently. Perhaps there would be a two-state solution already in place. And these are the men who are there to enforce something quite different.
Absolutely. But I think at the end of the day, you understand, and they understand better than anybody else, that force can lead you until a certain point. And beyond that certain point, you need a political solution. And the political solution is up to the politician to provide.
They also did have some failures. For example,
Absolutely. They
didn't know. They did know that Rabin's life was in danger, and
they
didn't do anything to protect it.
They didn't manage to. Yeah, you know that one of the most devastating facts that I learned there, that in the order at that day to the security guys, that there might be a Yemenite origin person who might assassinate Rabin, and they didn't pay attention to that because they didn't believe that an Israeli or a Jew would do that.
Well, we're lucky that they did break up the attempt to blow up the Dome of the Rock.
Absolutely.
That could have really been devastating for Israel. Dror Morey is the director of a new documentary called The Gatekeepers. It opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and then at the Film Forum on February 20th.
And he's also nominated for the Oscars.
Yes, we should remind people of that.
Thank you.